Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for another day that we can come together and that we can worship and that we can learn of your truth. I pray, Father, that that the things that we learn today, that we will take it to heart. I pray that we will seek wisdom as a hidden treasure, that we will seek knowledge and understanding so we will better be prepared to know who you are and to worship you in that knowledge. Be with us today as we study. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So once again, we've been looking at Proverbs. And what it is pretty much a collection of collections of wisdom books. You've got Solomon, who wrote some Proverbs. There are also Proverbs written by Agur and Lemuel. And we really didn't get into the, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
What is this? I think it's the projection. Okay. So we really didn't get into the Proverbs proper. But what we did from chapters 1 through 9 is we went through the instructions. We went through the warnings. We went through the admonitions. We went through some of the parallels that were antithetical, the parallels that would give a positive and then highlight that positive with a negative consequence if it did not, if it was not heeded to. And the idea for giving these instructions was for Solomon teaching his son in the context, the original context, teaching his son how to live a life of wisdom, how to live a life that is very practical, a life that is that you live skillfully in all of your everyday situations, every moment situations. And that's what the the original context, that's how it was given. That was the environment. So most of you have been here most of the time. And I'd just like to kind of open it up. And, you know, you can check your notes or you don't have to give a specific verse or anything. But is there anything that you've learned that you didn't know? Anything that you've learned that that has helped you? Or anything that you've learned that has opened up the truth even more to you. And it doesn't have to be anything detailed or specific or really deep, as they say, but something that you've learned in the time that we've spent in this book. Yes, yes, very good. Yes, very good. And that's one thing that stood out to me, too. And I even mentioned that in the last study, that Solomon is saying the same thing really over and over again. He's saying it in different ways, but he's still saying the same thing. And it's like, boy, are we studying the same thing that we did 2 weeks ago, the same thing that we did 3 weeks ago? Yeah, probably. And I was actually thinking this morning how that repetition plays into our hearts, because that's what we need to learn, is repetition over and over and over. And then I thought to myself, well, with the repetition that Solomon was giving in his warnings, in his instructions, have I perfected it? I haven't. So we kind of need to hear it over and over and over again until we perfect it. And when will we perfect it? Yeah. Exactly.
But instead,
it's
the wise person who's teachable. That is so humbling.
Yes, it is.
Because it's not, again, I've been repeating myself, it's not the mass knowledge that makes you wise,
it's
your attitude part.
Exactly. I really, really love that. And you'll find, as you study Scripture, we are opposed to our society ideals and our society norms, our cultural ideals and norms. They think a lot differently than how we think and how Scripture teaches us. That's a really, really good example. And another example is humility. And the Bible tells us, and Proverbs tells us, to be humble. We have to have a humble heart and not be scornful and reject the truth. And during that, during the time of the New Testament, if you talked about humility, that was something in that culture that was, you are a weak individual. They looked at you at being weak if you practice humility. They didn't look at you as being humble in the sense that you recognize and you understand that there is an omnipotent, almighty, all-powerful God that you need desperately to live the life that you're supposed to live. They didn't look at it like that. They looked at it in a sense that, oh man, that guy's weak. Look at him. He went to such and such and apologized for stepping on his foot yesterday. You know, no. Step on his foot and then go step on somebody else's foot. That's how the culture thinks. But humility, everything that we believe as believers, I tell you, there is something on the opposite side that that our culture picks up what we have and just perverts it, turns it topsy-turvy. And even wisdom books even teach about perversion, people with perverted speech. So very good. Thank you so much. Any other comments? Come on, we're family. It's early in the morning. You came down for breakfast. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Value God's word, value wisdom. And that really is what this entire book is about. It really, truly is about practical living, understanding the Scripture and being practical on a day-to-day basis. in the context, once again, you know, when Saul became king and Solomon became king, you know, that really kind of changed how the economy, as it were, of Israel. You know, not really a theocracy like it was before, but more a monarchy. And in that change, you know, there needed to be structure. You know, you had military, you had taxes, you had just whatever it is in a governmental or a ruling type structure, and you had to have people that were heads of those different areas. And the teaching of wisdom would prepare those folks for these positions as young boys. Okay, this is my kingdom. You're going to be in charge of taxes when you grow up. You're going to be in charge of the military when you grow up. But let me teach you the ways of wisdom through the law, which we have learned over the generations. So it's really very pretty important. So, anybody else?
I think one of the most helpful things for me, not having spent a lot of time in Proverbs, you know, and being more exposed to, you know, sayings and verses kind of plucked out individually, you mm-hmm. know, and not really understanding it, was something that you said in the beginning, and that is that, you know, you said Lady Wisdom is the personification of God's plan of salvation and life, and as I took that and started to read, and actually was reading it on my own, it really helped me to see more the beauty of his plan for us
yeah.
versus the foolishness mm-hmm. of the world, and as, you know, being in this world and being so easily sucked into it, and the values and what the world is chasing after, and all of those niceties, it really was such a sharp contrast
mm-hmm.
to me. How beautiful
yeah.
God's plan of life is for us.
Yeah,
and
amen.
How stupid we are.
I know.
Yeah. But that was so helpful because
yeah, yeah, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank the Lord for that. And you know, that is one of the styles of writings that you'll find in poetic literature, which Proverbs is poetic literature, and wisdom literature. Imagery is really, really impactful. You know, you take wisdom, you talk about wisdom, but then you take it and you give it a persona. You give it something that people can visualize. And you let wisdom explain to you exactly what her objective is and how to achieve that objective. And it really kind of helps you to understand a lot better exactly what is being said. Because we can always go to a book and just read words and okay, this is wisdom and you better hear me because of what I have is valuable than any treasure that you can find. Okay, we can read it like that. But we can also imagine wisdom as an individual standing on the corner where there are myriads of people and yelling out, screaming, almost in a voice that is screeching, will you all just stop and listen to me? Listen to what I have to say. It really is a very, very beautiful picture of how the Lord gets us to think about what wisdom is saying and how we should acquire wisdom and why we should acquire wisdom. Very good. Thank you so much. Dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just found that scripture, interpreting scripture, kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is a type of correlation. There, the writer is speaking about a weapon that is really very, very popular, and that how that weapon can really cause a lot of destruction and damage. And also on the other end, the word being sharp can get down and separate the bone from the marrow and discern the thoughts of individuals. So definitely something that we could look at and take to heart. Either the two-edged sword being something that will, typically it means to like eat you up alive. That's what it's saying. That adulterous woman will eat you up alive. That two-edged sword will, and you've heard the term, it cuts going in and it cuts coming out. Actually, it's worse than that. It's a lot worse than that. That sounds good, but it's a lot worse than that. It will eat you alive. And on the positive end, it will help you discern. It lets you know that the word can discern your thoughts and your intent. David?
I'm just still thinking about the wisdom crying and Mark. That you could have written wisdom calls to you when you're in your marriage.
Yeah.
Or, you know, soaked in the bathtub. Or whatever, but it's really, the picture is, you know, but he says, where you're living, where you're doing business, where you're doing all these things.
Yes. Yes.
Pay attention to me and all these comings and goings, all the places you live.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, it's God's call, not just wisdom for wisdom's sake. I know you said that 100 times, and other people as well. I'll tell you a story real quick as well.
Sure.
It's about that passage that the, when sinners entice you to go with them and say, here's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with a woman that, whose husband had been, before they ever got married, in trouble and in jail. And he'd gone with some men to rob a house, and they murdered people when they came home.
Wow.
And no one ever caught up with him, because the other dudes went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And he got married, had kids, and you think he went straight, basically. He was a nice guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they, in jail, they decided to get, you know, get some, get an early release by confessing who was with him that day. Two men went to jail, one man didn't. And it ruined his life.
Of course, yeah.
So it is no, we don't have a lot of young, we don't have a lot of 17-year-old boys sitting here who might be, you know, that's kind of the age where you're in
time. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's shocking how real that was to them.
Yeah.
How real it was to me when she was destroyed.
Yeah.
And when sinners entice you.
Don't listen.
Let's just cheat on your
taxes. You know, that. Thank you so much for that story. And, you know, we kind of think that that those crazy things that we hear about in the news and read about in the paper, if you still have a paper, we kind of think that that happens to other people, other families. And we're just so, I think it might be a bit of pridefulness to think that, because we have to understand that we are to instruct our children. Now, Proverbs is basically to that young, tender-hearted, easily influenced individual. But there are also very practical lessons there for us as well. So he says, look, don't don't be enticed by the evil words, by evil, when people want you to go do something. And we may think, I don't have to worry about that. I got a good kid. He doesn't do anything. Boy, I tell you, these kids have networks in their circles that we don't know about. You know, we have to pray for them. We have to instruct them. We have to do all that we can to make sure that they get an understanding of the consequences of their actions. We have to warn them, instruct them, and warn them against listening to evil, following after evil, following after people that are that really truly don't have your best interests at heart. Like I always used to say, or like I've said here in my teaching, you see such and such coming in your direction, you turn around and go the other way. And really, it's kind of that simple, but it's more complicated. It's kind of that simple, but it's more complicated. And we were just talking about some of the things that we learned in the study the last 8 weeks. Has it been? How long has it been anyway? Time has just, this has been so much fun. So any other statements, comments of what you've learned, what you could take with you, and what has impacted you in the study? Not that everything was so resounding, but it is the word that we're looking at. Yep, very good. That knowing that, Denise said, knowing the heart of a wicked person, in that they actually absolutely plan evil and plan wickedness. And one of the lessons we learned that a perverse person, a person that speaks evil, a person that devises evil or thinks evil constantly, can't even get a good night's rest if he can't cause somebody to stumble. Is that wickedness? That is evil. I didn't cause anybody to stumble today. Man, oh man, I can't even sleep. Can't even sleep because I wasn't able to practice evil. That is a wicked heart. And I've said this before, I hope and I pray, I can't understand a heart like that. I understand that there are hearts like that. But I will never fully comprehend what that type of wickedness is to be able to practice that. Okay, so when we look at Proverbs, you have to look at the very beginning of the book in chapter 1. And it really truly lays down the foundation of not only the instruction and the admonitions the imagery that's given and what it is supposed to teach and convey. But chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 really truly lays down the foundation of what this entire book is all about. Now, we didn't really, like I said, get into the Proverbs proper, but I would just like to encourage you to continue studying and to continue reading. And I've read Proverbs maybe, I don't know, thoroughly maybe a couple times in my life. And just really short, pithy sayings, really short, wise sayings, but they're very, very impactful. And those wise sayings helps us to acquire knowledge and understanding to where we can then practice and utilize wisdom in our lives. So just even since this study is over, you know, there's acquiring wisdom and knowledge is never should never come to an end. So in chapter 1, verse 1, 1 through 7, and they are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And this is what this entire book is about. This is why all the repetition from verses 1 through 9, he's saying the same thing over and over. He's saying the same thing over and over. He's saying the same thing over and over. He's just doing it in a different way. This is it. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. And verse 7 just really caps it off. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, and all that we've learned in the past couple months, we have to have that fear of the Lord. We have to have that recognition that God is all powerful and that he is worthy of honor, that he is worthy to be worshiped. And that's the difference between the one who desires wisdom and the one who scoffs, the evil one, the one who does not desire wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And these verses are really the foundation of the book of Proverbs. To know wisdom, which includes observation, obedience, and careful planning, and sensitivity to God's will, and to know how to navigate life in a successful manner. Instruction, which is has in it the idea of correction and discipline. Understanding, to look at the heart of an issue and know what's at stake for the choices being made. Do I listen to that evil person? Or do I listen to Lady Wisdom crying out in the marketplace? If I listen to Lady Wisdom, what will I get? I'll get life. I'll get honor. I'll get a wreath of accomplishment around my head. If I listen to the evil person, what will happen? I'll be entrapped and snared in my own wickedness. And typically that's exactly what happens to the evil person. So understanding, that's really very important. That's why he's saying, you know, you have to have this understanding and this knowledge. Prudence has the idea of shrewdness and cleverness. And not in a really, really negative sense. In thinking about prudence, it made me think about the situation where Solomon, where two ladies came with the baby to King Solomon. And Solomon, in his wisdom, in his cunning, in his shrewdness, which was not an evil way at all, he knows that a mother would not want their baby mutilated or harmed. We don't even want our babies to fall down and bump their heads, right? Okay, get the baby, bring a sword, divide the baby in two. How cunning. You see that? It's not an evil thing, but it is a way of getting to the heart of a matter. And once again, being skillful in your decisions, skillful in your actions. I hope that wasn't confusing. And knowledge, knowing and doing what God requires. And discretion, prudent planning, learning. And learning is really very important, because here's the implication to learning. You take a hold and you grasp something. Okay, I learned this. You practice it. You make it very practical in your life. But you don't stop there. What goes beyond just grasping and making it practical is being able to convey it to someone else, to teach it to someone else. And that's a very important component to instruction or to learning. So in chapters one, we learned about the beginning of knowledge, where it comes from the Lord, right? We have to have that. Chapter two, the value of wisdom. She's more valuable than hidden treasure. And once again, wisdom is not a lady. It is the imagery in this poetic writing that kind of gives us a clearer picture to help us understand wisdom a lot better. In chapter three, we learn about guidance, and we're told to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and not to lean to our own understanding, being guided by the Lord, being guided by His truth. Chapter four, the security of wisdom. As we learn that wisdom will honor you if you obey. And we're warned not to walk in the path of evil. In chapter five, the perils of adultery, of participating with an immoral person. And I know that was kind of a heavy topic, but we can look at that in different ways. Men don't succumb to the temptation. Women don't succumb to the temptation. That's the teaching. In chapter six, taught us, which was the last one that I did last week, just really practical ways of practical understandings of how you come to make promises and commitments to people. Don't make any commitments if you know you can't cover. Don't be prideful and take on the responsibility or debt of another if you know you don't have the resources to cover that, if there's a default. And I love what Solomon did. He said, you know what? If you do that, you got to go to your neighbor. He didn't say not to do it, but you have to be prudent enough. You have to understand whether or not you can fulfill your obligation. And that's in anything. Don't say yes too fast. Think about your commitment. Think about you being able to fulfill your commitment and to do it where it won't be a burden on you in whatever situation it is. And Solomon said, boy, if you can't do it, you know what? You got to go grovel now. You have to beg, and it's almost impossible to get out of this. But you have to humble yourself because you were prideful before. So in closing, I'd like to say that there are, and I've written down some New Testament passages that correlate with the book of Proverbs. But I'd like to say it's not just wisdom saying, so to speak, but it is wisdom saying that is based on the law. It is based on scripture. It is based on truth. Okay? When we look at chapter 1, verse 8, when Solomon says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." By implication, that is the law that they held with such esteem in the economy of Israel. And the New Testament also has allusions to the book of Proverbs. And I'll go through a few of them. We've got about 5 minutes left. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 to 12, he says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects." Thank you, Lord. Even though it may not be very, very pleasurable, but it's good to know that the Lord loves you. That's the positive. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. And that correlates with the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." You think the writer of Hebrews ever read any of those proverbs? Probably so. And he brought it into light in his historical context. He would reach way back and got something from Proverbs that he could use to encourage believers at that time. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. "Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble." James chapter 4, verse 6. "But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Sounds like plagiarism almost. Also, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. "Likewise, you younger people." "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your to your elders." "Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud," but what? "Gives grace to the humble." Proverbs 11, 31. "If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner?" In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. "For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God, and it begins with us first. What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear?" You're pulling a lot from this book. So the implication, the idea, or what I'm trying to say is, yes, it is a book of wisdom. It is a book that teaches us how to live practical, how to live practically on a daily basis in all different facets of our lives. And it is very, very scripturally sound to do so. So with that, I don't know if other elders will let me ever teach again, but if they do, I don't know, maybe we'll continue, we'll see. But as I said before, I encourage everyone to understand the importance of wisdom, to understand how it correlates with the Old Testament law, how it correlates with our New Testament teaching, and how important it is in our lives, just in our daily walk every day. Thomas?
That just reminded me when you're speaking about Proverbs 6 and striking hands in pledge. There's a doctrine called surety that you're referring to.
Mm-hmm.
The picture in the New Testament is Christ is our surety. We're bankrupt. We run to Him.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
It sure is. Yep. Christ is our surety. He gives us that open line of credit. But just because we have it, though, shall we go on sinning? God forbid. But it's just something really to be very, very thankful for. Thank you, Thomas. Any other comments, questions? Okay, if not, then we will close out with a word of prayer and go on about our morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you that your word, Father, lightens the path to which we should walk. It's a lamp unto our feet. And the things that we have learned here recently in the past couple of months, I pray that we all take it to heart, and even for myself, even more so, with the understanding of how important getting wisdom is, and true wisdom. Not wisdom as the world gives, but wisdom as you give, because all good things come down from you, Father. Is that is what we are asking. I pray that you bless everyone here. Encourage them, Father. Inspire them through your Spirit to continue to study Proverbs, to continue to learn more and to be practical, and to learn to live skillfully based on your truth. And not under our own power, but under the power of your Spirit. And these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen.